Hello, everyone. Welcome to Summit Church Fenton Online. I'm so glad you've joined me today, and I look forward to sharing the Word of God with you. I've been conducting a series on the Ten Commandments over the last several weeks, and I'm going to continue with that today. I do want to say that next Sunday is Easter Sunday, so I'm going to take a day off from the Ten Commandments that day, and my wife and I we'll be sharing an Easter message with you on Easter Sunday. So I'm looking forward to that. So we'll take a week off next week of the Ten Commandments, do an Easter message with my wife, Diane, and then I'll pick up with the Ten Commandments after Easter and conclude the series as we go on down the road. Also, I want to remind you that I have a message that I preached several years ago on political prophecies. What about political prophecies? And we're in a presidential election year. And so I think that message that I preached several years ago, it would be helpful to you to listen to that. It's, if you want to find it, it's in the description of this message. And there's a link there. You can click on the link. There's one to Facebook, one to YouTube, and one to our sermon player. They'll all take you to the same sermon. It's audio only. It's What About Political Prophecies? And I think it would be helpful for you to listen to that message. Okay, so with that being said, let's move on with the Ten Commandments. Now, if you missed any of the previous sessions, I want to invite you to go into our archives and get caught up if you've missed any of the previous messages that I've preached on the Ten Commandments. You know, whenever a series is being preached, it's important that you hear all the parts of the series, because if you just hear, you know, a part here, like maybe part two and part four of a 8-part series, you know, you're not getting the whole context of the series, and so it can leave a person you know, confused or befuddled if you don't hear the entirety of the whole thing. So if you missed any of the previous sessions on the Ten Commandments that I've shared, go into our archives. They're all there for you for free, and you can get caught up. So let's move on. Today we're going to be doing Commandment 6 about you shall not murder. And we're going to be talking about that. But what I like to do at the beginning of each of the sessions is I like to just read through the Ten Commandments. Remember, your assignment, if you've been following me regularly, you know, your assignment is to memorize the Ten Commandments and be able to list them in order, you know, 1 through 10. And that's your assignment. And don't just have them memorized, but live according to them. All right, because remember, there are 10 commandments from God, not suggestions, you know, but commandments. So we're commanded to live, you know, according to the 10 commandments. And so Exodus 20 is where you'll find them. There's one other place, I believe, in Deuteronomy that they're listed as well. But I've been reading the list from Exodus 20. But number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourself an idol, you know, to worship idols. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor your father and your mother. Number six, you shall not murder. And we'll be talking about that one today. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. So number seven, you'll not commit adultery. Eight, you'll not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness, which of course has to do with lying. And number 10, you shall not covet. And so there you have the 10 commandments, you know, the highlighted, summarized for you. Again, memorize them and live according to them. Now, let me just give you a little recap. Even though I've asked you to go into the archives and get caught up on anything you've missed, that you may have missed, but let me just do a little recap of what I've said over the last, kind of the major highlights of the last several weeks on the Ten Commandments. Remember, the Ten Commandments, the 10 that I just read to you, are summed up in one word, and that's love. That's love. And it's the Greek word agape, which is the God kind of love. If someone's walking in love and living according to love, then they'll automatically be keeping the Ten Commandments. And it's easier to remember one word, you know, one thing, love, than it is those ten. But if we walk in love, we'd be automatically keeping those Ten Commandments, the Bible says. And then, of course, Jesus said that if we loved him, we'd keep his commandments. So keeping the commandments of God, you know, is one way that we can show Jesus that we love him. It's proof that we love the Lord Jesus if we keep his commandments. And, you know, he commanded us to love one another as he loved us. And then it's important that you understand that keeping the Ten Commandments do not save us. In other words, by keeping the Ten Commandments, that's not going to get you into heaven, even though we're supposed to keep them. But they don't save us. We're saved by God's grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But once we are saved through faith in Jesus, then the Holy Spirit empowers us to keep God's commandments so that we can have close fellowship with him. Remember, we're not under the Mosaic law. We're under grace. Yet God cannot be separated from his commandments. And all Ten Commandments can be substantiated and preached from and backed up by the New Testament. So the Ten Commandments haven't gone away just because we've moved over here into the New Testament, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. All Ten of the Commandments can be preached and substantiated in the New Testament. And I'm not even talking the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but from the book of Acts and even from the book of Romans, all the epistles all the way from Romans to Revelation, all of the Ten Commandments can be backed up and substantiated, showing that they're for us today. The only exception to that would be the fourth commandment about keeping the Sabbath day. And I did an extensive teaching on that a couple of weeks ago, so you can go back into the archives and see what I meant. What I just said, that, you know, that all ten of the commandments can be preached from the New Testament, except the fourth one on the Sabbath day. You can go back into the archives and see what I meant by that. But I will say this: the principle of the Sabbath can certainly be preached from the New Testament. So anyway, you can go back and get caught up on that. Also, as I cover each of the commandments, I'm giving a New Testament verse to substantiate whichever commandment I'm covering that day. Okay, so I've done that all along, and I'll do it again here at the end of this message today on "You Shall Not Murder." But if there's one New Testament verse that perhaps would be the best one that would cover all Ten Commandments, would be found in Hebrews 12, verse 14. And the King James Version says this: "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see," or "no one shall see the Lord." So, you know, the Bible right here in Hebrews 12, 14 tells us to follow peace with all men and holiness. Underline "and holiness." See, the holiness, if we're living according to the Ten Commandments, then we're going to be living holy. And so this one verse, I think, substantiates all Ten Commandments, a holy life. And if someone's keeping the Ten Commandments, they're going to be living a holy life. So there's verses in the New Testament that back up each of the commandments, except like I said, there's the exception of that Sabbath day, that fourth commandment. Again, go back and look at that, or listen to that one in the archives if you missed it. But this one verse here, Hebrews 12, 14, backs up all the Ten Commandments, that we should, you know, follow holiness, live holy. And if we're living holy, or if we're keeping the Ten Commandments, we'll be living holy. You get what I'm trying to say. So that one verse backs up all Ten Commandments. Now, let's get in to commandment number 6. Let's take today's message and talk about commandment number 6. And we'll dig deep, delve down deep on that. on the sixth commandment. And this commandment that we're going to talk about today should still be on the walls of the public schools in the United States of America. All 10 commandments should be in every classroom, in every public school in the United States of America, from kindergarten through senior high, 12th grade, from kindergarten to 12th grade. The 10 commandments should be in every classroom. I think the students should be required to memorize them, to know them. Absolutely. The 10 commandments should be on the bulletin boards. When I taught school, I had a bulletin board, and I only put one thing on a bulletin board because it was really the only thing that that mattered, you know, was the menu. That's all those kids wanted to know about anyways, what we're having for lunch. This was when I was teaching junior high and high school, particularly junior high. But if I could have, I would have put the Ten Commandments up there. Isn't it a shame that God and the Ten Commandments, the powers that be kicked God out of the school system, threw him out of there and the Ten Commandments out many years back, I guess in the 60s, sometime in there. And God is light. And when God leaves, light leaves. And I know there's some Christian teachers and principals and things that are in schools. I understand that. But by and large, you know as well as I do, in the United States, God's been kicked out of the school system. The Ten Commandments have been thrown out. And when God leaves, light leaves. And what's left? Darkness. And you see darkness in the public school system, so much of it. And so the Ten Commandments ought to be, I mean, God needs to be welcomed back into the public square, into the public school. The Ten Commandments need to come back in there. The Bible needs to come back in there. Ten Commandments need to go up on the bulletin boards. And I would have had the Ten Commandments up there, and the menu would have been secondary to the Ten Commandments, underneath the Ten Commandments. But be that as it may, but this commandment today, commandment six, thou shalt not kill. I mean, and we'll talk about it here as we go. Thou shalt not murder. But that this commandment ought to be up there, and there ought to be a highlight on it. They're all 10. Highlight all 10. But this one ought to especially be, think of all the mass shootings that go on in the United States. Think about that. And I'm quite convinced if the 10 commandments were up and being taught to the students over the last generations that have gone by, and this one here, you shall not commit murder. I think that people want to know, you know, how do we stop these mass shootings? How do we stop these mass shootings? Well, there's much could be said, but one thing that I think it should be at the top of the list is welcome God and back into the public schools, bring the Ten Commandments back in there, put them up, teach them to the kids, and highlight this one here, Commandment 6. And I think that would curb and bring way down those mass shootings. Absolutely the truth. All right, so with that being said, Exodus 20, verse 13. Exodus 20, verse 13. I'm going to read this from the King James Version. It's first, and then we'll say some things. But the King James Version, Exodus 20, verse 13, says, "Thou shalt not kill." Underline that word kill or highlight it. Thou shalt not kill. And, a lot of people look to the King James Version, and thank God for the King James Version. It's a great version, but it's not perfect, you know, and there's some issues can be found with it. That's why I always tell people, you know, have the King James, the New King James, the New International Version, the Amplified Classic Version, the New American Standard Version, the English Standard Version, New Living Translation. Read these verses in all of these different translations. Look up the key words in like Strong's Concordance. I mean, that'll take you a long way down the road to really understanding what a Bible verse is saying. But a lot of people look to the King James Version, and thank God for the King James Version. But, some preachers, all they'll ever do is preach out of the King James Version. Well, you know, and they'll put other preachers down for using other versions. I think that's so sad when preachers do that, because the King James Version, it's a good version, but there's some things that's hard to understand in there, it's not a perfect version. It just isn't. And so that's why I said, if you read verses in these different translations that I just told you about, it'll take you a long way down the road to really fully understanding what the Bible's really saying. But anyway, King James Version says, "Thou shalt not kill." And the King James Version translates the Hebrew word, because the Old Testament translated, primarily out of the Hebrew. The King James translates the Hebrew word here in Exodus 20:13, translates it as kill. But all the other major versions translate it as murder. As murder. Now, Jesus, if you look at Matthew 19 and verse 16, Jesus is actually quoting the Ten Commandments to that rich young ruler. And in Matthew 19, verse 16, let's read here. "And behold, one came and said to Jesus, 'Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that's God. But if you'll enter into life, keep the commandments.'" So keeping the commandments is very important, obviously. "Now he said unto him, which?" Jesus said, and then he starts quoting, and we'll just look at the first one. He says here, "Thou shalt do no murder." So the King James Version in Exodus 20:13 says, "Thou shalt not kill." King James translates the Hebrew word there as kill. All the other major Bible versions translate it as murder. And Jesus, I'm reading out of the King James Version in Matthew 19, verse 18, when Jesus himself is quoting this commandment, this sixth commandment to this rich young ruler, he says, "Thou shalt do no murder." So Jesus himself translates that, if you will, as murder, not kill. Okay, so what I'm trying to say here is, when you go to the King James Version and you read the sixth commandment, Exodus 20:13, "Thou shalt not kill," it should really say, "Thou shalt not murder." So the word should be murder there, not kill. You get that? Now, the Hebrew word for kill in Exodus 20:13, where the sixth commandment is given, literally means, and this is what it literally means, it should read, "Thou shalt not murder," but that Hebrew word literally means this: the intentional, premeditated killing of another person with malice. That's what that Hebrew word actually means. The intentional, premeditated killing of another person with malice. And that's a definition of murder. See, that's what that Hebrew word in Exodus 20:13, King James translates it kill. It should really be translated murder. The Hebrew word there literally translated means this: the intentional, premeditated killing of another person with malice. And of course, that's the definition of murder. So the sixth commandment should read, "Thou shalt not murder." It shouldn't say, "Thou shalt not kill." It should say, "Thou shalt not murder." There's a difference between killing and murder. Killing means to put to death. And murder, it's an intentional, premeditated killing of another person with malice. Okay, so we'll say more about this as we go. But before we get more into that, let's look at Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3. Let's read the first three verses here. First verse says, "To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill. Wow. Now we'll just stop right there in the third verse, a time to kill. So there's a time to kill. Now, but see, if you read the King James Version of Exodus 20:13, thou shalt not kill, then then you read this, there is a time to kill. And so it looks like God would be contradicting himself, but you have to get in and study the words out in the Hebrew, what they actually mean. Again, in the sixth commandment, Exodus 20:13, the King James says, thou shalt not kill, but it actually should say, thou shalt do no murder, or thou shalt not murder. But yet here in Ecclesiastes 3, it says there is a time to kill. Now, it's interesting in the Hebrew, the word for kill here, the Hebrew word is different than the word that's used in the sixth commandment of Exodus 20:13. It's a different Hebrew word here in Ecclesiastes than in the Ten Commandments. The word here in Ecclesiastes does not mean murder. There's never a time to murder. Now, the Bible says there's a time to kill, but there's never a time to murder. See, again, killing means to put to death. Murder has to do with the intentional premeditated killing. There's a difference, you see, with malice. There's a difference between killing and murder. The word here in Ecclesiastes 3:3 does not mean murder, but it means to strike with deadly intent or to put to death. There's a difference. See, the difference between killing and murder has to do with circumstances, with intent, and with justification or lack thereof. I'll say that again. The difference between killing and murder has to do with circumstances, intent, and justification or lack thereof. Let me put it this way. All murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. Now think about that. That's a statement to think about. All murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. And see, the Bible says in the sixth commandment, it really says, you shall not murder, is what it's really saying. And Ecclesiastes 3:3 said there is a time to kill. Two different things. Two different Hebrew words. Two different things altogether. And again, it has to do with the definition. Then you get into the definition of killing to put to death and the definition of murder, which again has to do with that intentional, premeditated killing of another person with malice. See, all murder is killing, as I said, but not all killing is murder. Okay? Killing means to put to death, as I said. Murder means to put to death, let me say it this way, to put to death without proper authorization. That's what murder is. To put to death without proper authorization. That's another definition or another way of defining murder. Killing, put to death. Murder, to put to death without proper authorization. See, all murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. See, because killing means to put to death, but murder is to put to death without proper authorization. You see, killing becomes murder when and only when it is not properly justified or authorized. I'll say that again. Killing becomes murder when and only when it is not properly justified or authorized. Okay, killing becomes murder when and only when it is not properly justified or authorized. For example, we'll talk about just briefly here, abortion. See, somebody says, well, is it killing or is it murder? Well, we know it's killing, but you see, abortion is murder. It's murder. Yes, it's killing. It's killing, but it's murder because it's not authorized by God. You understand that? See, killing means to put to death. Murder is to put to death without proper authorization. Just reviewing here. Killing becomes murder when and only when it is not properly justified or authorized. So abortion, yes, it's killing, but it's murder because it's not authorized by God. Even though it may be authorized by a government, God outranks a government. And so God doesn't authorize abortion. So since God doesn't authorize it, and you know he does it, you know he's against the putting to death of babies. And certainly, I think it's clear as you read the Bible, life begins at conception. And God told Jeremiah he knew him, you know, before he was born and all of that, you know. And I'm not going to teach on abortion right now, but, you know, God is again, I mean, in the Old Testament, he was against child sacrifice. And the people in the Old Testament, they used to take their children and after they were born and take them and offer them up to idols and whatnot and have their children burned. I mean, burned to death, killed, sacrifice them to idols. Think about that. And God was against that. And the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament in that, in the day in which we live, is there's surgical, people don't take their children up and have them burned at the stake or burned in front of an idol or whatnot. They have a doctor do it with medical tools in the womb. I mean, but what's the difference? The baby's being killed in either event. And I remember a story where a lady had, a 3-year-old, and she was pregnant. She went in and was going to have an abortion, and the doctor said, well, let me just kill the 3-year-old. And the woman about had a fit. She said, oh, you're not going to kill my baby. And the doctor said, what's the difference if I kill the 3-year-old or the one that's in your womb? I can say amen to that. The Old Testament, they take the little babies and take them to the idols and burn them. Think about that, in sacrifice. And God is against that. So if he's against it then, he's against it now. So abortion, see, is killing, but it's murder because it's not authorized by God. Even though a government may authorize it, but God doesn't. And much I could say about it, but I thought I'd just point that out, that God doesn't authorize abortion. So since he doesn't authorize that killing, so that makes abortion murder. Now, let's move on. And if you're out there and you're a lady that's had an abortion and you're sorry over it, God is the great forgiver. And if you'll repent, if you're sorry, I mean, it looks like you've already repented of it. Absolutely. Ask God to forgive you. He will. Your child is with the Lord. If you're born again, you'll see that child one day. It's sad that that happened, but God forgives you. He loves you, and move on and serve the Lord and know that your child is with the Lord, and you'll see him one day if you're saved, if you know Jesus. When you go to heaven, remember David's baby died, and he said, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. And one day when David died, he went and saw his child, that first child he had with Bathsheba. Well, much we could say about it, but let's stay on the subject here. In the Bible, let's talk a little more about killing and whatnot. Killing, the sixth commandment does not say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt not murder. And I've told you there's a difference between the two. But let me just say some more about this. In the Bible, it's interesting as you study the Bible on this subject. And this is not a comprehensive study. I'm not going to get everything in, but I'm going to get a lot of things in that I think are interesting. But in the Bible, it's interesting, an accidental killing is not considered murder. Exodus 21 and Numbers 35, you could read that in those chapters. An accidental killing, if somebody killed someone else accidentally, it's not considered by God as murder. See, the difference between killing and murder, I've already told you, you know, killing means to put to death. Murder means to put to death without proper authorization. Murder, it has to do with that intentional, premeditated killing of another person with malice. But an accidental killing is not considered by God in the Bible. An accidental killing is not considered murder. Exodus 21, Numbers 35. And it's interesting, if you were to go to Joshua, the 20th chapter, you would see that they had refuge cities for people who accidentally killed someone else. And those refuge cities would protect the person who accidentally killed someone from being killed in revenge by, you know, the person that they killed accidentally. Well, their family members or loved ones are going to be angry, and they're going to come after that person who did that accidental killing. It wasn't intentional, it was accidental. And those people that accidentally killed someone would be taken or put in a refuge city. You can read it in Joshua, the 20th chapter. People who killed someone accidentally, they'd be put in a refuge city, really to protect them, even though it's terrible what they did, but it was an accident. And God would have them put in a refuge city to protect them from the person that they killed, their loved ones or friends or whatever, coming and killing, you know, in revenge, the person who did the accidental killing. So they were kept in a refuge city until they could stand trial, before a court or a local assembly. It's very interesting. You ought to read it in Joshua 20. But accidental killing is not considered murder. You know, it's interesting what happened to me, my wife and I. Now, I've never killed anybody. I've never killed anybody accidentally. But when we were a couple years ago, her and I, we went out to Las Vegas. We didn't go out there to gamble. We went out there to take a vacation, and we didn't really go there for Las Vegas. We went there to see some of the sites that are around there. We went to Zion National Park, which is just beautiful, and Bryce Canyon. But anyway, we thought we'd spend a day or two, whatever it was, in Las Vegas. And we had just heard that it was, you know, Sin City. We'd never been there. And it's interesting, we got in the elevator to go to our hotel, up to our hotel room, and we unloaded our stuff, and then we were going down to Hamburger Place. We got in the elevator, and there was a man and a woman in there. And I'm telling you what, see, we didn't know anything about Las Vegas other than Sin City. And we're in this elevator, and this man, this woman, I guess they were in their early to mid 20s. They were both just about naked. I mean, they had clothes on, but just barely. And my wife and I, you know, we're doing this, you know, they're naked to me. I mean, they're almost naked. And you know, they're in two nice looking people, probably in their mid 20s. And we're thinking, holy smokes, what's going on here? And we thought, oh my gosh, everybody in this city. I mean, we were overdressed. My wife and I, we had our normal clothes on. We thought everybody's, you know, more than half naked. But we found out that, and then we went over to the Hamburger Place, and we went in there, a popular hamburger place. We went in there, and everybody in there was dressed like those two people in the elevator. Oh my gosh, we were overdressed. We brought too much clothes, you know. Not that we dressed like that anyway. But then when we got away from that hamburger place, and we saw that other people were dressed normal like they do in St. Louis, we found out that they were having a special convention there where the people dress weird or hardly dress at all. And we just happened to be at a place where they went to eat. But we thought everybody in Las Vegas was like that. And so it was kind of, anyway, but the reason, anyway, so we were in Las Vegas, and talk about accidental killing. We had rented a car, and we were driving around looking at some of the different hotels, and boy, that one had duck wings. Oh man, some of the best food I've ever eaten was them duck wings. I'd go back there for those duck wings to Las Vegas. But we were going around from hotel to hotel. I don't know, we were looking for what we were looking for, but we were looking for the best, place to eat or whatever it was that one day. We were in that one casino, just looking around, and my wife, she asked the guy, she said, where's the restaurant or whatever? And he said, ma'am, go down and make a left at the crap table. My wife didn't know that crap is another word for the dice table. She said, "I'm going to do it. I make a left at the crap table." She didn't know it was dice. Oh, man. But anyway, so we're driving around one day in this rental car. As we flew out there and then flew back, but we had a rental car while we were there, and we were going, and I was driving, my wife sitting inside of me, and we left the overhang of this, underneath the overhang of this restaurant. You wonder where I'm going with this, but watch, listen to this. And so we drove down to the street, and there's people everywhere. And I remember I looked to my right, I looked to my left, and I looked again, and then I hit the gas. And just as I looked to the left, I hit the gas and I looked up, and there right in front of me, there was about six people standing. And I mean, I slammed the brakes. I mean, it happened so fast. I mean, it wasn't even a skid. I mean, it was just, I mean, I should have mowed down about six people and killed them. Or I killed them, maimed them, hurt them, whatever. You can imagine hitting somebody. I wasn't going that fast, but I was going fast enough. I mean, because I was accelerating to pull out, and they came right out. I mean, they came out in front of me. I didn't see them, and they came out right in front of me, and I accelerated, and I, just as I turned, I accelerate, and I mean, I hit the brakes, and I still don't know how that car got stopped that fast. I mean, I stopped just millimeters from mowing down about six people. Must have been the angels of God. Not only do the angels, I'm convinced, protect us from harm to us, but I think sometimes the angels help us or keep us from harming others. And I mean, the angels were working that day because they work every day, but they were working on that one because I should have mowed down those six people, maimed them, killed them, and that would have been an accidental killing. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a murderer. It was an accidental thing. And thank God that would have ruined those people's lives and my life. But you see, I would have had to go to Refuge City in the Old Testament. But that doesn't mean I'd be a murderer. Anyway, I thought that was an interesting story. But see, an accidental killing is not considered. Thank God nothing happened. Nobody got hurt. I stopped. Angels got me. I'm convinced got me stopped in time. But that could have been a catastrophe. Whew, glory to God that nothing happened. Anyway. But then there's like killing in self-defense or defending one's home. See, that's not considered murder. Exodus 22. You know, if somebody attacked me, I have every right to defend myself, even if it's to the point of killing that person. I wouldn't want to do it, but to defend yourself, or if somebody broke into my home and, you know, and going to do harm, and I'm here with my wife, I have every right to defend myself to the point of killing the intruder, even though you wouldn't want to do that. But you have the legal right to do that. See, and that wouldn't make me a murderer. Here's another one. Killing to defend the life of another person who has done no wrong is not considered murder. In the Bible, killing to defend the life of another person who has done no wrong is not considered murder. Exodus 2, Genesis 14. For example, you know, if we're walking along or we're at a restaurant or something and somebody came up and started beating on my wife or attacking my wife or something like that, I have every right to defend her. And I would. And it, to the point, if you wouldn't want to, but if you had to kill somebody to protect a loved one, your wife or whatever, you wouldn't want to do it, but I would do whatever I had to do to protect my wife. And if you had to kill somebody, somebody that's hurting your wife or whoever, God wouldn't consider you a murderer. You wouldn't have violated the sixth commandment. Police officers acting in accordance with legitimate duty by killing criminals in order to protect innocent people, God does not consider them, the police officers, murder. Exodus 2, Genesis 14, and Romans 13. I mean, Romans 13, God backs up good police, a good police program. Absolutely. Romans 13, sure, there's corrupt officers, but there are very few based on all the good ones that are out there. Thank God for the good police. Think about how dangerous it would be if there were no police. I mean, just think about what would happen. And there's always a bad egg here or there, but the vast majority of the police officers are good people, as I've observed it over the years. And Romans 13 backs them up. And if a police officer has to kill a criminal, you know, in order to protect innocent people, that doesn't make them a murderer. They haven't violated the sixth commandment. Yeah, but it said, King James said, thou shalt not kill. No, study it. It really should read, thou shalt not murder, as we've said. And then here's another one, wartime. Wartime. Ecclesiastes 3:8. We read from Ecclesiastes 3 earlier, but right here it says, picking up in that verse, Ecclesiastes 3:8, there's a time of war and a time of peace. So in war, now war is an unfortunate thing. I wish it wasn't so. I wish wars didn't exist, but they do. As you study the Bible, killing in the context of warfare to defend a just cause is not considered by God to be murder. Soldiers killing soldiers in the opposing army is not considered murder. The Bible never condemns the actions of a soldier following orders on a battlefield defending a just cause. Also, God never condones the murder of innocent people. See, there's a difference there, killing and murder. Soldiers having to, in battle, you know, a combatant in one army killing a combatant in another army, killing. See, as unfortunate as it is, that's not considered murder. There are soldiers that think that they're murderers because they killed a combatant in another army. But see, God doesn't consider them a murder. They killed, but it wasn't murder. See, killing in the context of warfare to defend a just cause is not considered by God to be murder. Soldiers killing soldiers in the opposing army is not considered murder. The Bible never condemns the actions of a soldier following orders on a battlefield defending a just cause. However, God never condones the murder of innocent people. And like what's going on there in Ukraine with the Russians coming in and doing what they've done to Ukraine. Now see, that's not a just cause what the Russians are doing, and that gets over into murder. See? But there's a lot of soldiers that think that because they've acted under the orders of their government, you know, and they've killed other soldiers, you know, in the other army, that they think they're murderers, but God doesn't see them that way. He doesn't see them as having broken the sixth commandment. You know, that's what the Bible says. You know, it's unfortunate that protecting a nation, protecting society, and protecting loved ones sometimes requires killing. And I say that with tears in my eyes. It's unfortunate. But that's different. That killing is different than murder. The command, do not murder, does not apply to killing that is justified. I mean, you wish that it never had to be any killing, but, you know, there's criminals. It's a dangerous world we live in, and sometimes killing is necessary, sad as it is. But there's a difference between killing and murder. As one reads the Old Testament, one finds that God instituted capital punishment, which means putting people to death, which carries rules and regulations for such. Capital punishment for the crime of murder was the first commandment God gave to Noah after the flood. You could see that in Genesis 9, verse 6. You can see in Genesis 4, 8, where Cain murdered Abel. Look at this, Genesis 4, 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and King James says, slew him. New King James says killed him, but you get into it, he murdered him. And you can see it says in the context there, what he rose up against him and he murdered him. And, you know, the Bible in the New Testament tells us Cain was of the devil. Jesus said that the devil was a murderer from the beginning. So, I mean, you know, the first murder that we had in the Bible of one man murdering another was Cain killed his brother Abel. You think about that. The first man born of a woman killed his brother. The second man born of a woman. Think about that. Cain murdered. He killed him, but it was murder. He rose up against him. And much we could say about that, but see, that was not, he killed him, all right, but it was murder. It was murder. It was a murder. It's murder. Somebody asked me one time, well, how come capital punishment was not exercised on Cain? And my answer to that would be, it wasn't instituted into the capital punishment for murder. From my study of it, it wasn't instituted until after the flood. But there you had a murder. He rose up against. Cain wasn't just defending himself, you know, or that sort of thing, or Cain wasn't defending himself against Abel or that sort of thing, or you know, Abel wasn't attacking Eve and Cain went to protect his mother. No, it was really over an offering if you look at it, but without getting into all that, Cain rose up against Abel. You could see it was murder. Again, Cain didn't kill Abel in self-defense. Abel wasn't attacking Cain. Abel wasn't, you know, attacking Adam or Eve. Abel wasn't attacking Adam or Eve, where Cain had to go protect his mother and father. You know, Abel wasn't doing anything wrong. He was doing everything right. Cain was the one doing it wrong. And God wasn't accepting what Cain was doing. He got angry and he murdered his brother. Isn't it sad? You know, it's interesting as we go on, God orders, as you look at this, God orders Israel to kill criminals for capital crimes. Now, if God orders it, it's not murder, it's killing. There's a difference. And God doesn't want to have, I mean, I know God, he doesn't want to have anybody killed, but if people are going to be criminal and whatnot, sometimes that has to be done. God's never for murder, and he doesn't want to have anybody killed, but if people are going to be criminal, what else are you going to do? God orders Israel to kill criminals for capital crimes, Exodus 21, and there's all kinds of rules that set on that. You could read it. God orders Israel, the Israelites who worshiped idols, to be killed. Think about that. Not murdered, killed. Numbers 25. And there's other instances in the Bible where God commanded violators to be put to death. Like a couple weeks ago when we looked at taking the name of the Lord in vain, and that we shouldn't do that. That's one of the commandments that we looked at. Which commandment is it? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You ought to know that one. That's number 3. And there was a death penalty that sat on that. We looked at that when we covered that commandment. But so God, you know, would have people put to death or killed. Yeah. God, absolutely. But it's not murder. Notice Numbers 35, verse 30. This is a scripture showing God's in favor of the death penalty under a system of authorization. See, because it's under a system of authorization, it's not murder. Numbers 35, 30. Whoever kills a person, the murderer. Now, so it's killing, but in this case, he's talking about murder. You understand? Remember, what did I say a while ago? I think it bears repetition, and I want to say it just right. All murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. All murder is killing, but not all killing is murder. So look at this, Numbers 35:30. Whoever kills a person, the murderer. So, yeah, there was killing went on, but this is murder. Shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against a person for the death penalty. See, so when someone commits a murder, they had intent, they had malice, so they're a murderer. So they committed murder. So that person, now God will say that that person And not just with the testimony of one witness, but out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. That murderer then would face the death penalty and would be put on trial and all of that. And then that murderer would be put to death. But here's the thing, when that murderer is put to death, the murderer being put to death is not murder. It's killing, but it's not murder, because when that murderer is put to death, it's under a system that is authorized by God, see? Well, listen to this. God does not authorize murder, but does authorize killing in some instances, as we've seen. And when God, now listen to this, when God authorizes killing, it's always just, it's always right, it's always fair, and it always needs to be done. As sad as it is, and I know God, He doesn't want it to be that way, but that's the way that it is, and it's man's doing, not God's. But God has to do some things, as you'll see, and you'll see it as we go here, but God does not authorize murder, but God authorizes killing in some instances. And when God authorizes killing, not murder, but killing, when He authorizes killing, it's always just, right, fair, and always needs to be done. For example, the flood of Noah's day, Genesis 6:5. The Bible says, when the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, then God flooded the earth and killed everybody, killed everybody on the earth except Noah and his family. And you say, well, is God, you know, did God kill people? Yes, He killed people. He did. He didn't murder them. He killed them. Why? Because the intent of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. If you read the other verses around this, you can see that God was brokenhearted. He was absolutely, tears in His eye, brokenhearted. And he really had no other choice. And if He had, now here's the thing, if He hadn't have brought that flood, you and I wouldn't be, we wouldn't be here today. And because things had gotten so corrupt and so violent that God had to do what He did, or you and I wouldn't be here today. It's interesting. Let's look at this a little further. I got one page of notes left, so I think I'm going to get done in a reasonable time today. I've been going kind of long the last couple of weeks, but look at 1 Samuel 15, the killing of the Amalekites. The killing of the Amalekites. 1 Samuel 15, Samuel, who was a prophet in the Old Testament, also said to Saul, remember King Saul, says, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill. Not murder, kill. It's a different word than is used in the sixth commandment in Exodus 20:13. God tells Saul through Samuel the prophet to go to do away with Amalek. He says, verse 3, go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, the Amalekites, and do not spare them, but kill, not murder, kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey. Now, when I heard this nursing child years ago when I was a boy, that bothered me. And I would question the Lord on it. So now what about this infant and nursing child? I can see, you know, what about it? You know, I can see a grown man, but what about this infant and nursing? I mean, I can see killing an Amalekite that's a grown man, that's a killer, a criminal. I was telling the Lord this. I said, Lord, I'm a young boy at the time. I can see that. Killing a grown man, that's a killer. But what about this little baby here? What about this little baby? We know God is against killing little babies, but what about the little baby, this little Amalekite baby? And I was questioning the Lord on that. And I got my answer. I heard a preacher, he got on this subject one time and he was talking about it. And he talked about God telling Saul to knock them all, to kill them all. the man, the woman, the infant and the nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, donkey. What about this infant nursing child? And this preacher, he got on this and he said, what you need to do is think about that infant nursing child, that Amalekite baby. But all of a sudden, as he said, I'm sitting there listening, and he said this. All of a sudden, he said, one day that little baby is going to be an 18-year-old or a 20-year-old or a 25-year-old and going to take a knife and slit your mother's throat or take your wife, and that pregnant wife, and slit her open and pull the fetus out, slit the fetus's throat, and then slit your wife's throat and then slit your throat. That little baby that's being killed there, that God says kill, one day is going to be 18, 20, 25, whatever, and do all that evil that I just mentioned. That preacher said that, and boy, I saw it. When God says to wipe somebody out, kill somebody, when God says do it, listen to me. He has reason for it. Listen to this. When God does not authorize murder, He does authorize killing in some instances, and when He authorizes killing, it's always just, always right, always fair, and needs to be done. And these Amalekites needed to be killed. Now listen to this. Saul didn't complete the job, and Samuel, in verse 32 here of 1 Samuel 15, he said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came, and you could read those other verses. Saul didn't do what God wanted him to do. He didn't wipe them all out. And then Samuel said, bring Agag, the king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. See, this Agag, I mean, he's real. I've noticed this about all these dictators. You know, and these killers like Osama bin Laden and what was it, El Baghdadi, and all these different ones. You know, when they're in control and they got their henchmen there, they're real brave. But I tell you what, when somebody more powerful comes along, they're cowards. They're sissies and cowards, and they hide behind women and children. They're a bunch of cowards. Like Agag here, he says to Samuel, oh, surely the bitterness of death is past. But Samuel said, now watch this, as your sword has made women childless. See, these Amalekites were killers. And those little babies are going to grow up and be killers. And that's why God says, wipe them out. As your sword has made women childless, so your mother will be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord, and so forth. And this killing was authorized by God. But it's interesting. Now listen to this. As I said, Saul didn't complete the job, and it cost him his kingship. He was rejected by God. David was brought in and all of that. But it's interesting, as you go years later, there's a man came on the scene in the time of Esther by the name of Haman. And there's two different views on this. He's called a descendant of Agag. And long story short, some scholars think that Haman is an Amalekite and a descendant of this king, and some argue not. But be that as it may, it's interesting. I'll say this. If it is the case that Haman was a descendant of the Amalekites, if Saul had finished the job and killed all the Amalekites, then Haman wouldn't have been there in the time of Esther. But Saul didn't finish the job, and as a result, Haman comes on the scene years and years later in the time of Esther. And what did Haman try to do? He tried to annihilate all the Jews. Now, he didn't succeed, but if Saul would have killed all the Amalekites, it's very likely Haman would have never come on the scene. God was trying to deal with that all those years earlier, and Saul didn't finish the job, and years later, here comes Haman. But if Saul would have finished the job, killed all the animals. See, God has reason when He tells to wipe somebody out. He's always got good, just reason. Don't ever question God. Like I did when I was a kid. Don't do that. Because when God does something, it's right, it's just, it's fair, and it needs to be done. Let's don't question it. But if Saul would have finished the job, it's likely Haman would have never even come on the scene. Something to think about, isn't it? Well, I need to begin to close here. So let's close. I want to say this. But when God says to kill someone, it needs to be done. Now, because God said it, and we do not question him. Now, he's God. Now, look, a note about killing animals. I can't resist. I was going to skip this, but I can't resist. I've had people come to me and quote the Sixth Commandment and say, well, we shouldn't kill animals. Because they're reading out of the King James Version. It's the only version they use. And they say, says, thou shalt not kill, shouldn't kill animals. But you know, Acts 10:13, remember Peter was on the housetop. He was praying and the Lord spoke to him and he had that vision of the animals. And the Lord said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. So when I tell those people that, then they walk off, usually don't have anything. So killing animals. People want to use the Sixth Commandment on animals. The Sixth Commandment says, thou shalt not murder. It's talking in the context of people, but I've had all kinds of questions over the years. But, you know, and he said, kill and eat, killing animals for food. Yeah, you know, killing animals for sport. I personally, if you're going to kill an animal, you kill them for food. That's my opinion, but that's a whole other subject for a whole other day. But nothing wrong with killing animals for food, certainly. And killing like spiders and bugs. We're going to kill those. Absolutely. And snakes. Oh, we're going to kill snakes. There's the only good snake, in my opinion, is a dead snake. I thinking about snakes. I mean, I grew up in a farmhouse and, in a wooded area. We've since tore that house down and built a new house in the same spot where I live now. But that's where I'm shooting this from, coming to you. But, but that old farmhouse, now we live in kind of a wooded area. It's very beautiful. And over the many years, you'd see an occasional black snake here or there. I don't like snakes. I remember in that old farmhouse, one day when I was 5 years old, my dad, he walked through the room and I remember he stopped dead still. He turned around and there was a black snake right in the room there. And my mom had opened the doors up to air the house out. I guess it got in and boy, it was a big one too. And he had a fishing pole there. He killed that thing. I still remember that. And all the years come and go. And I was between 9th and 10th grade. The summer between 9th and 10th grade, I went down into the basement, unfinished basement, but that's where the shower was. I went down there, and I remember I turned, I stopped dead still, looked up, there was a wire hanging down, an old abandoned wire, like conduit for a wire, and there was a big black snake wrapped around it. Oh my gosh. And I got back up the stairs. I told my mom to go down and kill it. She said, I'm not going down there, kill that. And so I went down to, there's a subdivision nearby. I went down and got a guy. I said, hey, you got to come up and kill this snake. I remember he has some fish and some hip boots. He puts from his fishing, he put the hip boots on and got a hoe, came up and never could find that thing. It was gone. He was going to kill it. It was gone. And try sleeping in the house when there's about an 8-foot black snake somewhere near you. Now, snakes don't bother some people. They'll just pick them up and whatnot, but I don't like snakes. And I never did sleep in that house real good again after that. We never did find it, never saw it again. But I tell you what, and then there's one time living in this new house. Now, there's nothing to get in this new house. Glory to God. We had a barbecue grill on the back, and this one Sunday we saw a black snake crawl in there. We had some company. When the company left, my wife and I went, I looked like Elmer Fudd. I put my hat on, my gloves, and we went down the alleyway, you know, of our, we're going back to this barbecue grill. I had my hoe. And I opened the grill with the, and I'm expecting to see this big black snake on the grill. I pulled the grill open, and you know what I saw? There was a little mouse. This snake had put this mouse is on the grill, and that mouse running all over the place, and it ran out. I'm trying to kill the mouse, and the mouse got away. It was the mouse's lucky day, I'll tell you that. Because I freed it from the snake. I couldn't kill it. And I told my wife, I said, well, there's no snake in there. She said, oh, there's a snake in there. And it was laying on a drip pan, about an 8-foot black snake. So I said, we going to leave it alone. We left it alone, and then it crawled out and left. We saw it crawl out and leave. It was a big one. And it left, and we got rid of that grill. I don't use that grill anymore, but But I don't like snakes. I remember years ago, I'm just telling stories. Years ago, when we were building our church, I had a troublesome neighbor. Most all the neighbors were good, but we were building the church, had a troublesome neighbor. He was giving me some trouble. And the one day, he was right at the fence line for his property and the church. We tried to be nice to him. He was troublesome. And he said, what kind of a church are you anyway? And I just had kind of my fill of him. He said, what kind of a church are you anyway? I said, we're a snake handling church. I said, if you see one of our rattlers, get over in your yard, just pick it up, throw it back over the fence. He walked away. I was just joking with him, but he walked away. Never heard from him after that. I'm definitely not a snake handling church. You bring a snake into my church, I'm going to get my wife to get a garden hoe and kill that snake. I tell you what, I don't like snakes. I remember last thing I'll say about snakes is, is I was teaching school at this one school district, and they had a assembly come in from the zoo, St. Louis Zoo. And so the kids are there, the seventh and eighth graders, and I'm, we're going to have assembly from the zoo. So I'm expected to see the parakeets or maybe a chimpanzee or something. They have these boxes sitting on the stage. And I'm thinking, I wonder if they keep chimpanzees and parakeets in the boxes. And so the zoo people came out with these poles, and they open these boxes, and they reach in with these, they pull out these snakes. It was a reptile exhibition. And these little girls, these little seventh and eighth grade girls, there was about 10 of them, run out the door. And they start running. They ran out that gym. And I ran after them. And they're running, and I'm running. And they said, Mr. Shield. They said, Mr. Shield, you can't. They thought I was chasing them to bring them back into the gym for the assembly, for the snake assembly. And they said, Mr. Shield, you can't make us go back in that gym. And I said, oh, I'm not trying to make you go back in that gym. I said, get out of my way, because I outran them. I didn't want no part of snakes. I didn't go to that assembly. Oh, man. Neither did those girls. I mean, I'm thinking about snakes. This one preacher, he is a man of faith and power. He's a kind of heavy-set preacher years ago. And he and I were playing golf, and I was driving. He was sitting in the passenger side of the cart. And we walked back to the cart, sat down on the cart. And I just started driving. This big black snake came out from underneath the cart. And this guy... He jumped. He jumped out of that seat. He jumped over on me, this big heavy set guy. I don't blame him. I'd have done it too. How did I get off on that? I don't know. Well, I tell you what, thou shalt kill a snake. Amen, brother. Okay. Hey, let's finish this up. I'm out of time. Hey, let's get back serious and close this. Have a little fun as we go. First John, let's close this up now. First John 3, Jesus took the commandments, the 10 commandments, he took them to a higher level. Look at 1 John 3:14. Says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Now, think about that. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. You think about that. You think about that. See, Jesus took somebody says, well, we don't have to live under the Ten Commandments here in the New Covenant. Well, Jesus took the commandments really to a higher level. And right here is an example of it. You know, you may have never gone out and taken a knife or a gun and killed somebody with malice and intent. But Jesus said, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. See, because that hate is in the heart. And you think about it, if you hate somebody in your heart, it's very likely someday that's going to manifest and you may wind up murdering. But Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. He took these commandments to a higher level. So maybe, like I said, maybe you've never shot somebody or stabbed somebody with malice and intent, premeditation. And maybe you're not a murderer, you literally did it, but he said, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. That's the way God sees it. His same way with adultery. We'll see this when we get to the, to thou shalt not commit adultery. I think that's coming up, that's coming up next session. We'll see after Easter, we'll see, whoever looks on a woman to lust. So, well, I've never gotten in, into bed with another woman. You know, if you're a married man, well, I've never gotten into bed with another woman. But if you look on a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart, Jesus said. So it's very sobering. So what would be my New Testament verse to substantiate Commandment 6? Well, there's several of them, but I think one of the best ones is Galatians 5:19. Galatians 5:19 says that murderers shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Wow, so there's a New Testament verse, and there's many I could give, but I think this is a good one. Galatians 5:19 that says that murderers shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's a New Testament verse backing up Commandment 6. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this today. I hope you learned something. If you're out there and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you to repent of your sins, receive Jesus as your Savior, call on the name of Jesus. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You'll miss hell one day when you die. You'll make heaven. He'll make your life worth living in the meantime. And hey, love people. Love your brothers. Don't be seen. Don't hate anybody and be seen by God as a murderer. So hey, receive Jesus and walk according to the commandments, and you'll be glad you did. All right, I will see you next week with my wife for Easter message, and then week after that we'll pick up with the Ten Commandments. And as I said, I think it's you'll not commit adultery. So we'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.